seems like, once I got past 30, go by very fast. They seem that way to you guys?
Yes.
When I was young, I wanted to be grown. Anybody here like that?
Yeah.
And now that I'm grown, I want to be young. Find myself at times late at night watching these infomercials about it's to do this, make you feel like you're 25 again, and just send in the check, and we got guarantees and all that. I'm like, man, you know, sometimes in the morning you get up and you're feeling kind of stiff. Some of you guys, you get up in the morning, it take me like about 5 or 10 minutes to kind of just work through the stiffness. I get up like, man. You know, when I used to walk, I didn't drag my feet. Now when I walk, I be dragging my feet like, oh, my goodness. That's what it's like when you get old, like Brother Osby. I mean, No, if I can live to be in good shape like Brother Osby, I'll be doing good. Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm going to finish up today what we've begun a few weeks ago about what we believe and teach as the Assembly of God Fellowship. And I know it's not some hooting, hollering type of message, but sometimes you just need to know what you believe and teach. Amen? Sometimes it's good to go to class. Amen? When I was a young minister, and the fellowship I belonged to, the young man, there were no seminaries. What you did is you were an apprentice, so to speak, under a minister. And so he would teach you. You would follow him. He'd tell you to do this and do that, and you would learn by just doing. Amen? Don't judge me. That's how it was. We learn how by doing. And there are some nuggets that he shared with me. One of the nuggets was this. We're talking about getting people to start living right and all that. He says, you can't bend cold steel. You can't bend cold steel. Meaning this, you can't make people live right till you get them in love with Jesus. You trying to tell them, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that. They got to start loving Jesus first, right? You cannot bend cold steel. Another nugget that he shared with me as a young man, he said, no matter how good the food is, when you fool, you fool. What he meant by this is, son, when you're up there preaching, no matter how good you preach it, when folks didn't have enough, they fool. Sit your behind down, let them go home. Amen? No matter how good the food is, when you fool, you fool. And if you ain't got a sense enough to read the expressions on the faces of the people, you don't need to be preaching, right? Just say, all right, we're done now for the day, and let them eat again next Sunday. When you fool, you fool. You know, he would share these nuggets with me, right? And then one of the ones he shared with me is that when it's time for the delivery of the word, you know, people need to be able to just sit down. You just can't shout all through the service. Amen? At some point in time, you got to just sit down, get your notebook out, get your pencil out, and take some notes. Amen? When folks trying to feed you, they can't feed you on the dance floor. You got to go sit down. Amen? Get your knife and fork and sit down. And so I learned a lot from him. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is every sermon is not going to be some hooping and hollering sermon. Right? Sometimes you just need to sit down. All right? Grab your pencil or paper. And take some notes. You do that in college, amen? Or in high school, right? When the college professor is teaching, you don't say, all right now, all right, teacher. No, you don't do that. Now, you know, every now, you know me, I will ask you for an occasional amen, make sure you're awake, but you know. Well, let me get into this. Good morning. I'm so glad that you're here today. You know, today we're going to finish up, as I said before, the 16 fundamental truths of the Assembly of God Fellowship. And let me just run through the first 11 that we went through. The first one, the scriptures are inspired. This right here is the inspired word of God. It is truth. It is truth. You measure up everything. You measure all of my preaching up against this. You measure my teaching up against this. Right? You do like the Bereans did in the book of Acts after Paul finished preaching to them. They went back home, opened the scriptures to make sure what Paul was saying was accurate. Amen? You need to know, all right, what's truth. The next one is the one true God. There's only one true God, all right? The one true God. The next one was the deity of Christ, that Christ is God. The fourth one is the fall of man, that man fell in the garden, all right? Man fell in the garden. The next one was the salvation of man. God already had a plan he was going to put into action. We talked about the ordinances of the church, which is the Holy Communion and the baptism. We spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We spoke about speaking in other tongues and how it should be done. Now, right here, if we were to start speaking in other tongues and there were guests here and there were no interpreter here, we'd look what? Foolish. Amen? Look like a bunch of crazy knuckleheads. All right? So you have to be wise. The Apostle Paul said that the gift of a prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning that you don't have to. The Spirit of God didn't make you just run up and run around and start speaking in tongues. You chose to do that because you wanted attention. And let me say this. Some folks didn't want attention. Some folks didn't want to show how spiritual they are and how above you they are. That's foolishness. When you see a person like that, they're not operating in love. They're not operating in love when they try to make themselves better than you. Huh? No, they're not operating in love. The Bible says, listen, if I have the tongues of men and angels, having that love, I'm just like this sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm just making a noise. Ain't no power there. I'm making noise. We talked about sanctification last week, right? I shared with you the sermon I preached before about how that salvation is instant, but sanctification is a process. It takes time. And there has to be this daily, this willingness to daily submit or to sacrifice oneself to God. During Sunday school, Brother Osby Davis touched on it about this living sacrifice. You got to be willing to give up your rights to submit to the Lord. And if you're not willing to give up your rights to submit to the Lord, he can't use you. Huh? I'll tell you right now, having sex is good. But if you ain't married to that person, you're wrong. Am I right? Don't look at me like, well, we said that. Yeah, I said it. We ain't going to hide from it. Listen, it's the truth. You may say, well, I'm just having it with her. I'm just with her. Okay, it's still wrong. I know it's enjoyable. I know that. But what I'm saying is this. My love for him has to outweigh my love for pleasing myself. I'd be a lie to say that some sin is not enjoyable. It is. Huh? It is. But if I'm going to live this sanctified life, I have to deny myself. And what we don't have in today's society, and I'm not talking about just young folks, old folks too. All right? Don't think I'm talking about just young folks. Old folks too. We don't want to deny ourselves. And let me say this while I'm talking about sex, all right? Listen, if you can't push back from the table, you out of control too. All right? We always want to talk about the young folks having sex. No, listen, you may not be having sex, or you may be too, but you may not be, but you're indulging in other things that are going against your body. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can put control in and on your body. But you got to be willing to, right? Sanctification. We talked about the church and its mission. We tie that together to the ministry. It is our job. And Sister Gail mentions it during her prayers. It is our job to reach the masses for Jesus. It is our job. It takes money to do that. It takes a willing heart to get out of our comfort zone. It takes early morning times of prayer. It takes late night times of prayer in order for us to fulfill the mission God has for us. It's not just coming here on a Sunday, and you have not fulfilled the mission just by coming here on a Sunday. The ministry, every one of us has gifts. And we have to decide whether we're going to use our gifts for the kingdom or not, or just sit on them. And as a young man, there was a song the saints used to sing about God can't use you sitting down. Sitting down. God can't use you sitting down. You got to get up and get involved. Amen? So today I'm going to pick up at number 12, which is divine healing. And so I want to explain this to you, the term divine healing. In fact, let's go to Isaiah 58. I got Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. We'll look at verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 58, 4 and 5. We have that divine healing. All right. It says, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped, some of you know the King James Version, for it, by his stripes we were made whole or healed. He was whipped so we could be healed. And now watch this, divine healing did not come from man. That word divine tells us it comes from God, right? Who controls God? Do we? We do not. So divine healing is controlled by God. We pray to God, and we ask God to do it, but we can't control the outcome. I wish I could stand here and say that every time I've laid hands on people, they were made whole. I know people will say, well, Pastor, you know, they were made whole. They died. They went to heaven. I'm talking about made whole on this side. I wish that every time I laid hands on people, they were made whole. But there are times when they don't. Because divine healing is in the hand of God. We pray in faith, and we believe God, but it's up to God. Do we think that divine healing is no longer available? No, it's still available. Because there have been many miracles that happen. But don't be discouraged because you lay hands on someone and you don't see the evidence of them being healed right then. Amen? The next I want to look at, I'm going to tie these two together, is the blessed hope, which is 13 and 14, the millennial reign. The blessed hope, millennial reign. And as I was thinking about this blessed hope, I've thought about the different ones that have gone on to see the Lord before us, the ones who have died in Jesus. In fact, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 14 and 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at verse 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. The blessed hope is this. This life that we're living right now is not it. There's more than this. Huh? There's more than this. As I was thinking about loved ones who have died, who I severely miss, what keeps me going is this hope. Huh? What keeps me encouraged is this hope. As I was driving into church today, I was thinking about someone in particular who had passed away, and I reminded myself, I will see him again. Because of this blessed hope. Paul said this. Paul said, if we only have this life, he said this, we're in trouble. Another part, he said, listen, we might as well drink, get drunk, because tomorrow we die. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, like, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you deal with death of loved ones. The only way I can deal with the death of loved ones who are saved, is because it's blessed hope. Because I know that someday in the future, I'll be reunited with them again. This millennial reign is a 1,000-year period that we're going to spend with Christ. Let me read this to you. The important differences between what some have called the rapture and the second coming is this. At the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air. At the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. The second coming occurs after the great tribulation. The rapture occurs before the tribulation. And I'd be a fool to say that I am an expert on end time events. And I think some of the experts are kind of foolish as well. Some will talk about a rapture before the tribulation. Some talking about the saints have to go through the tribulation. You know, this is what I say, okay? This is what I'm going to tell you right here. Live right. Huh? Live right. So no matter what happens, you're living right. Listen, there are certain things in this book, because it's a spiritual book written by God, you're not going to fully understand. What I do understand is this. He's coming back again, right? I'm going to go back with him because of Jesus. Amen? Whether folks go through the tribulation or not, listen, that ain't my issue. I'm going to live right. So no matter what happens, I'm going to be with him. Amen? It is my hope. This is what keeps me going, keeps me living. Without this hope, my life is a mess. Without that hope, your life is a mess. Because if all you have is this life, some live to be 20, 40, 50, 60, 70, some 90. That's all you got is 90 years. No hope. But we have a hope that there's something better. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that in Jesus' name. Don't you miss those loved ones who've gone on before you? And sometimes, certain times of the year, your heart aches. Right? It's like this. We were in our small group the other day. And we were talking about things that disappoint us in our small group. And I didn't know my wife felt this way, because oftentimes I feel this way as well. She was talking about when her parents passed away. She was saying that, I know in my head that this life's not forever. I know that. But I never thought it happened to me that I would lose them. You felt that way before? Like... You thought they'd be here forever, even though you know it's not the case. If you didn't have this to give you the hope, why even live? But we have this hope that's found in him. Amen? Number 15 is this. It is, we believe in the final judgment, in which the wicked dead will be raised and judged according to their works. And whoever is not found written in the book of life, along with the devil and his angels and the beast and the false prophet, will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. This is also called the second death. We believe in the final judgment. Now watch this. Let me break this down for you. There are two judgments of God that the Bible speaks about. One is the great white throne judgment, and one is the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? All right, judgment seat of Christ, you can find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Do I have that verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5, verses 9 and 10? Let's read that if I do have it. Yes. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, well, let me stop right here. This is the only judgment that I want to see. That's the only one right there, that one right there. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This judgment seat of Christ is for the believers. It will be, you will be rewarded based on what you have done in your life. Huh? You will be rewarded based on what you've done with your life. Now, there is a great white throne judgment. Times when those whose names are not written in the book of life will be judged. So everyone that has made a decision that they are not going to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he was made on the cross, they will stand this judgment. And they will have no excuse. Their sins will be pointed out. Their decision to deny Jesus as Savior will be pointed out. And they... This eternal damnation was not created or designed for mankind. It was created and designed for the devil. And that is one reason why the devil tries to fool so many of us. Because misery loves what? And he's trying to get as many people to follow him as he can, because he knows what his end is going to be. He knows what the Bible says. And so his goal is to try to get as many people to come follow him as possible. Our goal is the opposite. Huh? Our goal is to reach as many people for Jesus as we can so they do not have to stand at this great white throne judgment and be told. Now watch this. Listen to this very carefully. There are going to be some people who have played church who will have to stand before the great white throne judgment. And they will make comments similar to this. But Lord, we went to church every Sunday. And these are some frightening words that I read in the scriptures. Because this is the comment that the Lord made. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then this is hard, he said, because I never knew you. All my years, and you said you never knew me because I never gave myself to him. All those stand before this great white throne judgment. They will be pointed to the direction of eternal damnation. That there's been eternity there. This is what we believe and teach. That's why it's imperative for us to reach as many people for Jesus. We can't play around with this. Listen, lives are in the balance. People's eternity is in the balance for men and women in our family, in our neighborhoods. And we have the answer to life's question, which is Jesus. And we must share it. Amen. We must give them at least the opportunity to hear about Jesus. We can't control their decision, but we can give them the opportunity to hear the gospel. Oh, man. My God. This final one is the new heavens and the new earth. In that time, there'll be no more suffering. Hallelujah. No more blood pressure pills. Amen. No more high cholesterol. No more diabetes. Huh? No more getting up stiff. Huh? Having to go to the gym just to stay on top of yourself. No, we ain't got to do all that. Amen? There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and the cool thing about it, we get new bodies. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We get some new bodies. Man, I look at some of my grandkids, and they all limber and bend like this, and I try to do this. Oh, we get new bodies, Ed. Huh? My, no more stiffness. No more arguments. No more fights over money. No more having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work. No more late nights at the office. Amen? We got a new heaven, new earth, new bodies. Huh? Food don't make you fat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No GMO, none of that, right? Glory to God. It's coming. Glory to God. But watch this, watch this. You got to be ready so you can make it in. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. And get this last video ready for me, Holly. But Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And I'm going to start there at verse 1 of Matthew 25. If you have it, say amen. If you have it there, good. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were what? Foolish. Glory to God. They're all virgins. All went to church. Those who were foolish took their lamps, watch this, and took no oil with them. It wouldn't say foolish. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They're ready. Listen, we got to be ready. Amen? We can't even be playing around. Listen, many folks, I believe in my heart, know that he's coming. And for some reason, day after day, decide not to yield themselves to the lordship of Jesus. Know that he's coming. Know the bridegroom is coming. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. I have that video ready. Can you switch to that video? Hit those lights for me. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, everyone say ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This video depicted men and women in the church who were there on Sundays with their Bibles in their laps, but were not ready. We're not ready. I want you to know that he's coming back again. And there's no timetable. He's just going to pop up and boom, he's going to be gone. And you've got to be ready. This is why we preach. This is why we teach. This is why we raise money, so that men and women will be ready for when he comes again. It's the only reason. Hallelujah. And we must be ready. Don't think, oh, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to try harder. It's not about you being a better person. It's not about you trying harder. You got to know Jesus as your Savior. Huh? Otherwise, you're going to be lost. And I know we don't preach it enough because we don't want to scare people, and we become very sensitive to the seeker generation. But whether you're a seeker or what, you need to know the truth. And the truth is, he is coming back again. The truth is, there's going to be a final judgment. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Father himself will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And listen, there's no way you're getting back. It often scares me when I think about men and women who die without knowing Jesus. Because the very moment they die, they're in eternity. Jesus gave this example, this parable. He said there was this rich man, right? And there was a guy named Lazarus who had kind of sickly guy who was at his gate every day. And for some reason, the rich man didn't pay much attention to him. He knew who he was, but didn't pay much attention to him. And the Bible says both of them died. Says how Lazarus went and went into paradise, all right, and how the rich man came to himself in hell. Now, this is the cold part of this. The Bible says the rich man died and he could see across the way the saints. That's a trip. Huh? That's a trip right there. You mean to tell me if I end up going to hell, I'm in hell, but I can see the joy of the saints, but I can't get there? Huh? And so the Bible says he called out, Father Abraham, and he recognized Lazarus. Can you tell Lazarus to do this? That's what he said. Just bring a cup of water? No, a cup of water. Can you just dip his finger in some water and come over here and kind of give me some type of relief? Father Abraham would say, not so, son. Not so. Mm-mm. You can't get over here. He can't get over there. But, man, you can see it. Isn't it a trip to see folks having a great time? You can't get there. Huh? My God. And so Lazarus said, well, listen, at the very least, can you send Lazarus back? Now watch this. He paid no attention to Lazarus. Lazarus was alive. But now he wanted to use Lazarus. Huh? Send Lazarus back to tell my brothers. my family. Well, they'd be like, no, it don't work that way. They got the prophets, they got Moses, they got the Bible. Huh? Here's what I think. Once you leave here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are immediately aware or conscious of your eternal destination. And no matter how much you cry or moan or beg, you cannot get back. Once you die, there are no do-overs. That's it. Because we know this, we have to be adamant about telling folks in our circle about Jesus. To be adamant. We've become too lackluster because we are fearful of offending. Amen? I said this a few Sundays ago. It is foolish for me to see my neighbor's home on fire and say, well, it's kind of too late to go ring the doorbell, tell them the house is on fire. Doesn't that sound stupid? I'm going to let their house burn down because I don't want to go over there and knock on the door because it's too late, kind of late at night. No, I'm going to make some noise, amen? Whether you believe this or not, this is more important than your neighbor's house being on fire. We're talking about their eternal destination. We are called, we are compelled, we are commanded to do this by God because he doesn't want anyone to perish. So I need you to join me and others who are going to be adamant about reaching those in our circle. I know we can't reach everyone, but there is a circle of influence we have. And we need to use the Spirit of God living in us to reach those within our circle. Amen? Can you do that? Can you do that? Stop being scared and be courageous. For their lives are in the balance. And if they die, this is what God told Ezekiel. He said, listen, man, I'm going to tell you to go tell the evil man that they're living a kind of sinful life. If you don't tell them and they die in their sins, yeah, they go into hell. But I'm going to hold you responsible. Because you know. In Lighthouse, we know the truth, don't we? And all of us, loved ones or friends, some of them don't know Jesus as their Savior. And we sit with them, communicate with them all the time, and we do not bring it up. I'd rather be known for a guy as a fanatic for Jesus than a person who never shares his faith. Let me say this last comment, then we're going to close. In fact, stand to your feet and give me some music. I told you about one preacher, about a vision that he had. In his vision, there were two escalators, one going up and one going down. I told you about this. I'm going to say it again. And as he was traveling up the escalator, going to heaven, there were people that he knew on the opposite side, traveling down the downward side escalator, shaking their fist at him and making comments to him. And this is the comment that they made to him. This is what they said. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You knew I was going to hell. You didn't tell me. So as he went on to heaven, different ones on the way to hell without being told about Jesus. I do not want that to happen to us. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to pray with you this prayer of salvation in order for you to become saved and to spend eternity with Jesus. So if you're here today and you know if Christ was to come today, you wouldn't go back with him. You know that. And I know the devil is speaking to your heart right now and probably saying, not now, now, not the time. Yes, right now is the time. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm saying you don't go to church, but you know Jesus as your Savior, and you want to make sure your life is right, I want you to come to this altar. I want to stand with you and pray with you. If there's anyone here today, come quickly. If you're here today, you're not going to shake your fist at me and say, I didn't tell you. If you're here today and you know that you're not ready for Christ's return, I want you to come. I want to pray with you at this altar. Hallelujah. If I give you another minute, anyone, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If not, on that sister, come up here and she's going to give us a closing prayer. Thanks, Sister Roberta. Thank May you. God bless you and then keep you.
Thank you. Whew, I love church. I just love our church. Yes. It just makes me so happy to be here. Everybody, take a deep breath for me and close your eyes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today, for this glorious day. As we've come and listened to this message that you have given Pastor Phil, and I pray, O Lord, that as we leave this building, we take that message and we really do try to spread the good news, try to spread the word, because, Lord, you know, we want everybody to walk with you when you come. And I pray, O Lord, and I thank you for that, for our wonderful worship team that brings joy in your presence into this building on Sunday morning. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the many blessings in your precious name. Amen. Amen.